Great, moving on. So progress and action items. The only outstanding issue is the one from last week, the AAP 712 signature 2021. There's been, I think, no protests or objections against this. Heather had a few points from the last meeting, but I just pinged her on the thread to follow up here. And I think we'll take care of it in the issues. Great. For today, we can start with our topic agenda, which is wacky PEC specification at DIF, who have broad participation from a bunch of implementers. HTTP API, status of use cases, including updates from Eric, Juan, and any others who have thoughts about it, and also specifically focusing on the authorization discussions with respect to VC HTTP API. So I'd like to do it in two parts. The first with wacky PECs. Hopefully someone can help remind the group what wacky PECs is. What does it stand for? What are the goals of it? What's the scope? And what's the progress to date? So an update there would be very helpful. And then we'll move to talk about VC HTTP API. Again, an overview of the goals of it, its history, very briefly. And then talking about the use cases and also the authorization architecture. So with wacky PECs, would anyone like to talk about that?
I queued up to fill in Ori, who says he's running late. Wacky is a the wallet and credential interaction spec, which is a kind of a extension on top of Presentation Exchange that proposes a sort of simple way for wallets to interact with verifiers and issuers that sort of works backwards from the data shape, right? Sort of says, if both wallets and issuers and all parties involved want to use this set of objects and JSON blobs to represent the interactions of a verifiable presentation, they can. And so that spec is called Wacky. It's sort of a pretty straightforward, sort of a straw man. It's waiting for input from people who've tried to implement it and had problems. And the wacky PECs discussion is sort of an extension of that extension, sort of a using it as a interop profile to say if you sent this exact JSON blob, it would be mutually understandable between a Presentation Exchange using JWT wallet and a, DIDCOM using Aries wallet. So it's kind of hard to frame or explain except as a lot of envelopes around a, a blob containing an intent, expressing an intent, and the work comes on the heels of the alignment between Presentation Exchange and the Aries Hyperledger protocols for credential exchange, sort of having been worked out over many months by a big group. And now that the amendments, sort of the iteration of the Aries protocols has been ratified and is trickling down through the Aries community, this makes it possible to take advantage of the new version of Present Proof, which is the name, the Aries name for the protocol of exchanging credentials. So that's my best attempt at introducing it. Wayne, did you want to jump in with a question before I...
Yeah. Would it be possible to give a story about what the interaction looks like with Wacky PECs? Who's involved and what's the interaction? When do you use it?
Okay, sure. this will be very topical for the second, the other two topics today. So the intention of wacky is to give a vocabulary for I'm a verifier, I need VCs that contain these things, and it gives a sort of abstraction layer so that to allow a verifier to accept credentials that come in multiple shapes or representations or formats. So this is a way of doing the handshake before presentation exchange would be one way of putting it. So negotiating, I'm going to ask you for credentials. This is the form. These are the formats I know. These are the signatures I accept, right? So it's sort of a pre-presentation exchange handshake protocol, perhaps. And basically the intention is if you're speaking both Aries and JWT language at the same time, that handshake can be any combination of the two. Is that an answer?
Thanks. Next on the queue, we have Manu.
A couple of things. So I wanted to plus one tall Ted. Wacky is a really hard to sell thing. If I'm standing in front of a customer, if there is a competitor that wants to ridicule, the work that's being done in the community, wacky gives them an open door, to do so. So, Ted is going, I don't know if the horse is bolted. This would be the naming's just terrible. Please reconsider it. The other, I think, concern, so they're just branding and marketing concerns here. I know we don't talk about those things a lot. But this one's particularly, problematic. The other thing I wanted to understand, is the, VP, what is the difference between this and a verifiable, a presentation request spec? It feels like they're doing the same thing or that there's a lot of overlap here. I get that, like, this is the Aries way to do it. But given that, we're starting to see a lot of alignment on kind of at least the lower level cryptographic primitives, the LD signatures, LD framing, DBS plus, that kind of thing. I'm wondering if we need to start talking about, merging, these. Now my assumption here is that that is not going to be like people are not going to want to do that. Juan, you hinted at maybe this thing is going to be used in the verifiable credential HTTP API, right? And I think if we're going to go there, we need to have a pretty serious conversation about what the convergence story here is, one. Or, and this is what I expect to happen, how do you select between different query languages? So Credential Handler API already has a mechanism where you can swap out the request response mechanism, and Chappie doesn't care about it. I'd argue pretty strongly that the VCHTTP API should not care about the query request response format. It shouldn't pick one as a winner, yet. And so those are kind of the open questions. It feels like this is duplicative of work that's been going on for a while. Why is it different? How's it different? Is there a chance to converge? Those are kind of the open questions, that I have for the work.
Juan, feel free to respond.
Sure. I would say that the intention is not – well, I think there is a sort of convergence story built in so that this is a – you'll notice that the payload within the payload within the payload is something that can be understood by the VP request spec, ideally. So it's sort of a, maybe a retrofit. It's a way to sort of line up the ducks. so I hope if I've understood it correctly, then, there is a convergence story built in. But I shouldn't speak to that. I'm just trying to, illicit awareness and alignment here.
Any feedback on the comments about the name?
From me?
Yeah, or your understanding of the group. Is it something that they would consider a rebranding or something like that?
I mean, I think this is all very work in progress. I don't know that the name was the intended to be the public name. I think this is sort of a code first kind of project here.
Okay, it sounds like there may be some openness to renaming. And so next on the queue, we have Adrian.
So moving up to a higher level, because I haven't been following Wacky, but I am interested in where there might be a consent management interface into wallets. In other words, if there is, does that belong somewhere in this conversation? In other words, can there be a pluggable API to control more fine-grained or relatively fine-grained consent management when it comes to presentations and the mix and match of credentials?
Juan, would you like to answer that question? Is there a place for user consent with respect to management of credentials?
So I think that in the presentation exchange model, those sorts of policies are not so much external or granular, maybe as much as you're asking. But I would have to defer to someone who knows presentation exchange better on where policy fits. My understanding is that policy matching would happen in the request and response the presentation exchange objects, or at the data layer, obviously, if that were if it were in the hands of that kind of power user.
On the queue, we have Manu.
Right. Juan, you seem to indicate that there was like a convergence story where, like, you know, presentation, the VP request spec would fit in this one or vice versa. I don't see that. I see it as a different path, an alternative to VP request, which is fine. But I mean, we should be fairly, you know, forthright about what it is. It's an alternative. It's not, there's no convergence, you know, there that's expected. So I'm just pointing that out. I see a lot of overlap. I don't necessarily see convergence yet. And I really would like to kind of understand that story. Because either we've got two things that have like 50% overlap and they're both going to exist in the market. And now wallets have to support, you know, both, presentation request and response formats. Or there's going to be convergence. The first thing is the one I'm concerned about here is that we're forking, you know, efforts and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that is my biggest concern now, aside from the naming concern.
Thanks for expressing your concerns. Much appreciated. Kalia.
Yeah, just for some context, Manu, this specific group grew out of three sessions during IAW, all of which I put the notes, links to the notes in the IIW wiki in the IRC. So you can review them. And really, I think, I would describe the story that you're asking about as there is, an Aries community that is achieving some level of interop and a community around the SVIP program also achieving an interop and an acknowledgement and a willingness to move to a common credential format with the, which is JSON LD ZKP with BBS Plus, at least for credentials for people. And that if these two communities that are interoping have no way to move credentials between them, there's two islands that have the same credential format, but no way that they agree on to move them between, those two clusters of interop. So this was a proactive attempt to rapidly iterate so that this summer there was the capability to move JSON-LD ZKP with BBS Plus credentials between those two universes, if you will.
Thank you for adding additional context. Very helpful. Corey, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so I think Manu, you're right to sort of point out that these aren't directly, they're not byte for byte equivalent. However, they are conceptually equivalent, and they are in some cases supporting objects that are byte for byte equivalent moving between them. So I think the first thing to note is, you know, for JSON-LD BBS Plus, there's these JSON-LD frames that you use to derive credentials. And in the query by frame example, which is what most people are using with VP request spec today, even though it's not documented in the VP request spec, query by frame is basically the same as passing the frame in the presentation definition here. So there's direct alignment between query by frame and this flow. And therefore, there's direct alignment between what everyone would expect the VP request spec to say about query by frame at this point and this flow from a JSON-LD, like requesting a derived BBS Plus credential perspective. They have direct alignment around the use of JSON-LD frames, which is good because there wasn't any way to do that before. There's additional semantics like sugar in the presentation definition object, which is complexity that VP request spec doesn't have any opinion about, and it probably won't ever have an opinion about presentation definitions because VP request spec isn't about presentation definitions, it's about moving presentations. So there, I think, is compatibility there because VP request spec's, you know, space isn't the presentation definition spec or the objects in therein, right? It's a way to move presentations back and forth. So they're compatible from that perspective. And then the final point, you know, I think I joined late, but someone was asking about policy enforcement. For presentation exchange, the spec, the expectation is the verifier has some constraints that they want the presentation to conform to. And the presentation definition object allows for those constraints to be expressed more granularly than a query by frame by itself. So and you can think of it like in VP request spec right now, you only have the query by frame as a way for a verifier to specify constraints. But in Wacky Presentation Exchange, you have both the JSON-LD frame and the presentation definition, and you can use both of them to express constraints from a verifier to approver. But then in terms of enforcing policy decisions, the verifier is obviously going to use the tools they have available to enforce those policies, right? So they can use the query by frame, they can use the presentation definition object, and then they can apply the appropriate policy to whether or not they're going to accept this selective disclosure or zero knowledge proof. Thanks.
Thank you. Manu, would you like to respond?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ori. That helps a bit. So what I'm hearing is that we now have three presentation request response languages, basically. There's query by example, which is fairly simple. Query by frame or some subset thereof. I'm a bit more fuzzy on you know how BBS Plus is doing that, you know, over Chappie and then over PEX. And then we have PEX, which adds a bunch of other stuff like JOTS, you know, all over the place. It has a different structure. And what that tells me is you know, we have three non-interoperable mechanisms, which is fine. I mean, that, you know, I'm not saying that's a completely horrible, terrible thing. It'd be best if we could just settle on one thing. But for now, it looks like people are experimenting and we have three different things. And if we have three different things, then they're not going to converge anytime soon. So I'm asserting that I don't see them converging anytime soon. Like not in the next six months to 12 months. I think people are still going to be experimenting with them. That means we absolutely have to figure out how we move these request response, protocols over things like Chappie, which is already built to be agnostic to the query response, request response thing. The VCHTTP API, which I'm arguing now very strongly that we should be agnostic as to the request response, protocol for presentation exchange there as well. And basically any other protocol, right? There should be kind of an overall protocol that's sending requests and responses back and forth. And that overall protocol really should probably not care about the contents of what's going back and forth. Now that adds a tremendous amount of complexity to the ecosystem. But what I'm hearing is that that is the path we're all going down, whether or not we want to.
Thanks for the feedback. Any response? Oh, or you're on the queue.
Yeah. So, I agree generally with what you said, Manu. I think you said some things that aren't 100% accurate regarding presentation exchange. So the JOTS and the DIDCOM piece of that, you can think of that as all just transports. That's like Chappie, right? There really are only two primary ways to express a request from a verifier for a verifiable credential today. The first is query by example, which you're familiar with because you wrote the spec for it. And then there's query by frame, which is basically like query by example, but like more useful. They're like almost directly equivalent. Now the example is just example data and the frame contains example data that needs to be applied to give you an answer. So I would propose that you could go from 2 to 1 pretty easily by just saying query by example is dead, long live query by frame. And you're going to have almost exactly the same data structures that you had before, but with the addition of now being able to consistently use the query by frame as the primary mechanism for a verifier to express the credential that they're requesting. The additional input descriptors in the presentation definition object, I think you can consider them to be in some ways semantic sugar. Like there are a bunch of constraints the verifier can specify that were, you know, leverage JSON path and JSON schema, but you can basically ignore them because primarily in the BBS plus flow, you're looking at that frame and you're saying, give me a credential that I can use this frame to derive. And that really is the fundamental thing that's happening in here. So I would say there's really just two things that are happening, query by example and query by frame. And query by example is basically not a super good idea. Query by frame is equivalent to it and better. And I think we could go from 2 to 1 without a tremendous amount of retooling or trouble.
Thanks so much. Manu, you're in the queue.
Yeah, one last thing, and thank you, Ori. That was helpful as well. So what I'm hearing is that we kind of have two layers here. One layer is the exchange protocol. So that is DIDCOM, that is Chappie. I'd argue maybe that is the VCHTTP API, the presentation request response of VCHTTP API. So those are exchange protocols. And we probably should set ourselves up so that those protocols are more or less agnostic to the presentation request and response languages, to which Ori, you're saying we really have two, query by example and query by frame. To me, that seems like a reasonable way to layer things. I think that's what I'm hearing. And if that is correct, then that seems good. We just have to make sure that we don't accidentally diverge, you know, with that. Like, so I'm interested in hearing from the community if they feel like that is a good way to structure the work. So exchange protocols on the bottom, that's CHAPI, VCHP, APN, DIDCOM. We have three different versions of those. And then we have presentation request response languages that layer on top of that, and that's query by example and query by frame. I'll stop there.
Great. Adrian, you're in the queue.
Just a short comment. This discussion, which I'm barely following, would it be easier, Manu, or Ori, or both, if in the context of the VC HTTP API, which I have been following, we were to consider the holder separately from the verifier and separately from issuer? In other words, are these two layers that the Manu is referring to part of sort of that discussion as to whether you view the world from the issuer and verifier perspective or you view the world from the holder perspective?
Manu, would you like to respond?
Sure. Just real quick, Adrian. I think we have already made that separation. I don't think there is general understanding of that in the group yet. Just because we said we're going to work on, you know, issuer, verifier, and holder APIs doesn't mean that you're forced into one of those point of views when you're looking at the API. So when you're talking about the issuer API, you're specifically talking about you as an issuer. When you're talking about a holder API, you're talking about you as a holder, and, you know, and all the self-sovereign things that come into to play there. So I think we already have that set up. It's going to take more work to convince everyone that that is the setup that we're working from. We don't need to do any separation. I don't think. Hope that helped.
All right. Thanks so much. So I think, are there any last comments on the WAPI PEX, work happening at DIF? Otherwise we'll move on to VCHP API use cases and authorization. Ori.
So just because I put it in chat, There is another layer here, which are constraints about the credential shape. And in presentation definition, those constraints are expressed by the verifier. In the verifiable credentials data model, those constraints are expressed by the issuer in the credential schema attribute for the verifiable credential. There could be other kinds of constraints that a verifier or an issuer might apply to a credential. And so I think You can see presentation definitions as being one attempt that's sort of directed from the verifier towards the holder on that front. You can see the credential schema as being a thing, similar thing, but from the issuer towards the credential on the same front. I think that category of credential data shape constraints is, less relevant to exchange than you might think. It's more relevant to, is your credential a beautiful credential? Not, can you move your credential around? So I just want to sort of state that one of the most confusing and terrible parts of the presentation exchange specification is that it does a little bit of both. It talks about how to move things around, and then it talks a little bit about how to make things that are beautiful to be moved around. And that beautifulness part, the constraints on the data model that the presentation definition imposes on presentations and that credential schema imposes on credentials aren't necessary to leveraging the protocol. I think you can think of them as a kind of semantic sugar. So I just wanted to note that there are really like three layers to this. And one of those layers is sort of embedded. I don't know if this is helping at all, presentation exchange, the spec is hard to understand, particularly because of this nature where it's exposing a set of constraints on the verifiable presentation And in fact, it inherit, if you look at the presentation submission, it is a verifiable presentation of extended JSON-LD type, which contains additional fields that are valid JSON-LD and a valid verifiable credential W3C spec verifiable presentation because they're extended with JSON-LD. But they have this additional object inside of them that is meant to help express that the holder is complying with a verifier request. So it is in the same way that credential schema extends verifiable credentials, presentation submission extends verifiable presentations. So hopefully that's a little bit helpful.
Thanks so much. Great information. Okay, at this point, we have to move on to the VCHP API use cases. Who would like to talk about that? Well, I see Juan, since you're already on it, or Eric, feel free to speak.
Yeah, I can start off giving an overview. So I guess the first thing is I just posted a link to the document in chat. And as you can see here on the screen are timelines. So today is actually the day that the group set for the last day for new use cases. And then we have the next month distilling. So just as a kind of a call to action, if anyone sees a use case in this document that isn't well fleshed out, please, if you're interested, get it written up sooner rather than later. So just kind of as a status on where we are, I think we have somewhere on the order of 10 or so kind of fairly well-formed use cases and maybe about twice that number of what I would call more problem or solution statements. As you can see, some of the boxes are kind of one sentence. So if anyone, those are the ones that if anyone would like to take a shot at, kind of expanding, please do so. As far as a general update go, I think that's it. Juan or Joe, do you guys have anything you'd want to add?
Juan, feel free to speak.
Yeah, I would just say that, I wanted to put the call out for help getting more use cases in, and I wanted to contextualize that the discussion in the VCHTTP API weekly meetings has been about figuring out an exact scope, and figuring out a sort of thinner layer for this API, and part of the division of labor or complementarity or convergence path even is that the VCHTTP, this API is a little more, thin as a layer. And, if you have not been following and want like a quick update without having to go through all the email threads or the minutes of the older meetings, I would say read through these pages. Including the beautiful updated diagrams. If you look on the GitHub repo, there is this architecture file that has been iterated on a little bit in the discussion, and these notes here will sort of help contextualize all of the email back and forth about whether or not these are internal or external APIs, or if that's even a useful binary, and what we're hoping for as a team of use case editors, someone is very loud. we're hoping for use cases that are phrased in real world language rather than in technical solution language, that convey complicated divisions of labor where there are services maybe run by contractors or service providers where there is not a unitary verifier. You know, I think the three roles described in the VC data model, we have a tendency to map them really simply onto real world situations, but in the real world, particularly in complex institutional situations. There are all, you know, there's many different divisions of liability and trust that would necessitate a standard API to make all the parts pluggable and free from lock-in. So I just want to keep the every time I ask for more use cases, I keep the focus on a use case that doesn't name specific solutions, a use case that is not opinionated beyond what this work item is trying to specify, which is how the different parts of these kinds of complex divisions of labor could be interacting in a standardized API. And Joe is right that this makes the angels sing.
Thanks. Huge commitments for efforts on use cases. Use cases are critical to helping people contextualize why something is important, especially if they're not familiar with the ecosystem and the problems directly. So thanks so much for the work on this. Definitely support it. Great. So are there any questions or comments about the use cases? Please feel free to queue yourself. Okay, then we can move on to the next discussion topic, which is the VC HTTP API authorization. Would someone like to talk about this, Eric or Juan?
I was kind of hoping Manu could give an update on how that conversation is going. I don't want to get misrepresent anyone's position.
Okay. Manu, would you be willing to speak about authorization?
Sure. I was wondering who would be the lightning rod for this. I will try to summarize the conversation fairly. There is a discussion around whether or not a client is allowed to call one of the VC HTTP API endpoints. And that question is typically, answered by the, you know, what is the authorization process around the HTTP API endpoint, right? So this has to do with authorization and who is allowed to call an HTTP API endpoint and who isn't. And part of conversations around authorization include things like, do we even need authorization? Is something that where it's just a bearer token enough? Do we need a method to do delegation? And if we are, going to do delegation, are we making sure that it supports, kind of a number of the self-sovereign principles that, we hold near and dear to our hearts in the community? Over the past 3 weeks or so, we've been having discussions on the call and on the mailing list around, how to think about authorization, which endpoints need authorization, the use cases around, authorization and things of that nature. And we're getting to the point where we need to start probably making some decisions and moving forward. So let me stop there and see if that was an okay enough introduction. And then we can speak a bit to kind of where we are and the potential paths, the potential things that we're probably going to end up considering today on the call, later today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Does anyone have anything to add or, questions about VC HTTP API, authorization? Adrian.
So I think the only Manu's introduction was very, very fair. The question does boil down to something like two sorts of discussions. One of them he didn't mention. As he put it, is a bearer token enough, or do we need to think about more complicated protocols? So that is one consideration. The other one is the distinction between so-called internal and external APIs. Both are important. I'm not at all sure that there is an easy consensus to be had as to whether they have to be the same or not. And so maybe Manu wants to go back and or Ori, who I think coined actually this distinction, wants to speak a little bit about that as part of the what they call the lightning rod, which is certainly there. Thank you.
Paul Ted, would you like to speak on that? I see that Juan has recused himself too.
Yeah, as I've said in a couple of these calls, I feel strongly that the design of these APIs should be as if they were all external, and it's an operational decision to say whether some pieces could be disabled so that it's acting like it's an internal thing. But really, security by nobody's getting inside this fence is not going to work. It doesn't work now. It has never worked in the past. It's not going to work in the future. So, yeah, they should all be external APIs with the option to say, you don't need a username in this case because we've decided operationally that you don't.
Thank you. Juan, you're next on the queue.
I just wanted to say that the question of whether a bearer token is enough should be answered per use case, and if use cases are submitted that the group thinks require different kind of authorization, that would be a scope decision. But I think that the way it currently stands is that the group is supportive of pointing out better ways of doing things that are not the ones documented in the current version of the spec without holding back the spec until those are documented and made. That might not be helpful. Sorry, I should go off the queue.
Okay, thanks. We only have 4 more minutes and several folks in the queue, so let's keep it short. Ori, you're next.
Yeah, I agree with what Ted said about treating all APIs as external. Yeah, that's a security best practice. We should do that. It's also worth considering what are you authorizing or authenticating when you say your API is external. Are you talking about a human user, or are you talking about a software integration system? I think, at least speaking for my company, we need to support both software services that are authorized to act on behalf of organizations or individuals, and individuals that are authorized to act on behalf of organizations or individuals. So we want to see an authorization scheme that addresses both of those needs, that's widely available and implementable today by enterprises. You have to consider both parts of that question when considering external APIs, which are all APIs should be considered external. Thanks.
Thank you, Ori. Next, we have Adrian.
First of all, also a big plus one to all APIs being considered external APIs. A mention of the fact that I think there is some dispute or debate in the group about the delegation point that Ori just made. I have spent the better part of a decade watching a train wreck, an incredibly expensive train wreck, due to the fact of the way OAuth is used in terms of regulatory capture in the healthcare industry. Anybody who wants to get into what the experience has been over these past 10 to 12 years with OAuth and interoperability in healthcare is welcome to contact me. So I think this is the issue of where delegation belongs and whether and how to avoid the regulatory capture by the sovereign issuers and verifiers is the thing that I am most concerned about in this context. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Anu.
Yeah, just really quickly, what we need to make some progress or some concrete proposals. So there's been a fair amount of discussion on the mailing list, probably not enough, but enough for us to at least start putting some concrete proposals forward. We are going to be focusing on pull requests and some issues on the call later today, on the BCHP API call later today. But there will be a portion for us to process concrete proposals. So if any of you have concrete proposals that you would want to run, that you feel we've talked enough about, you know, the inputs, here's a concrete proposal, you'd like the group to consider it, please send them to the mailing list after this call, to give people a little bit of time to consider it before we bring it up on the VCHP API call later today. Again, at 4 p.m. Eastern, agendas on the mailing list. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks so much. What a great note to end the meeting on. And Erica, thank you so much for scribing. It was huge, and you did an amazing job with that. Much appreciated. See you all next week for the next community group call. Thanks for attending.